Next, let's talk about how to fully utilize this program. First, listen to the CDs all the way through at least 3 times. If you want to sit down with a copy of the contract, fine, but only do that after you've listened at least 3 times. See, the problem is if you wait until you have the time to sit down with a contract in front of you, your life will interfere and you'll never get done. Remember, this thing is going to be 5, 6, 7 hours long, and you're never going to have the time to do that. So first of all, listen to it. This program is designed to put in your car or on an MP3 player or an iPod and listen to it over and over. And it's also indexed, so you can back it up and hear something over and over again in case that little idea is something you want to get in your head. I want to get this into your head so strongly that you won't need a contract in front of you, so that when your client asks you the question, you'll have the answer. Those of you that have seen me teach contract classes have noticed I don't use notes because I have it in my head and I want you to be at that same level. Now let's talk about the purchase contract itself. The first thing I want to talk about is that you got to use the right form. Always use a current form. It might not matter because maybe the changes in this form has nothing to do with your current transaction, but I want to tell you from my litigation work that using the contract, especially when you use the wrong one, can be a home run for the attorneys that are suing you. Here I am, for example, trying to defend you, and I'll be asked by the attorney, "Mr. Berry, does a competent real estate agent use an obsolete form?" Can you imagine how I have to answer that? Obviously, I have to say no, and I can try to say, well, the clause that was added on the new contract really isn't relevant to this lawsuit, and then a judge would scream at me to answer the question that the attorney's asking for over objections. Now I look over at the jury, and they're taking notes. I mean, all this does is hurt you. See, if you're trying to save a few dollars because you have an old contract in your drawer, come on, that doesn't make sense. It's not a good way to do it. Like, let me give you an example. If you're selling an income property, even a small one like a duplex, you have to use the income property form. See, the income property form includes clauses that provide buyers information about the income on the property and tenants that are not in the residential form. So never, never, never use an old form, even if your transaction is not affected by the new changes. For purposes of this workshop, I'm going to be using the 2010 CAR residential purchase contract as a guide. But remember, I want you to learn the concepts so that you can understand what each paragraph says no matter what contract it's in. So when the next contract comes out in the future, it will be easy for you to understand what it means, and more importantly, how to explain it to your clients. So let's look at the contract. Notice the title of the contract. It says California Residential Purchase Agreement and Joint Escrow Instructions. And under that it says, for use for single family residential property. So you can see that on an income transaction where you're using this form, how completely wrong that is because the title says it. Now, what does the phrase escrow instructions mean? It means that we're going to be giving this contract to the escrow company and they're going to use it to follow the escrow. That's exactly what this is. This is kind of like the outline for the transaction. And yet a lot of people don't even think of that, and they don't even realize that on the last page of the contract, there's a box for escrow to initial saying they've got a copy of this contract. How many of you have actually done that, where you've given it to your escrow company, you've signed it and sent it back?